Today's reading is taken from the Gospel according to John, chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. John 15, 9 through 17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. This is the word of God.
Good morning. Good to see all of you this morning. Again, if you're a first-time visitor or you're coming back for a second or third time, welcome back. We're so glad you're here with us. I do hope that you can join us, not just this Sunday, next Sunday, but especially on our Easter weekend. That would be just a time of celebration. And, you know, as our presider mentioned a few times, you know, we are in time of planning and kind of stepping out. So I do want to ask the members or regular attenders to be in prayer for what God's doing at our church. And please take advantage of the Easter weekend, especially the Saturday morning slot, that you could come out. And we'll be praying together for the church and what God's doing through us. So please make a note of that. We'd love to see you there. We're looking at the Gospel of John, the last few chapters of the Gospel. And in preparation for Easter weekend, last few chapters of this book is really the last few days and few hours of Jesus with his disciples. And needless to say, it's some of his most crucial teachings, because it's his last reminder, his last opportunity to remind his disciples of some crucial, key, important things that he has been teaching to them for past 3 years of his earthly ministry. And one of the key things that he mentions over and over again is his love for the disciples. My wife Suge recently asked, would tell me once in a while, something like, you know, I'm going to be so sad when our kids go away to college. And we still have many years left, I think, but she keeps mentioning to me, gosh, it's going to be so sad when our kids go off to college. And I'm thinking, but you still have me. I don't think that really does anything for her, but she says that often. And just this past week, she asked my older son, you know, who are you going to miss the most when you go to college? You know, she's kind of setting herself up with this question. And he says, he looks, he thinks, and he goes, grandmother? Grandfather? Uncles? Aunts? Brother? Sister? Cousins? And then he pauses and he says, our hamster, Rhino? You know, he's at that age, you know, but I know that secretly he will miss his mom the most when he goes off. But all that to say, the last hours that Jesus is spending with his disciples, he wants to remind them how much he loves them. So he says, I love you, and go and love one another. And that's the emphasis of chapter 15 in the section that we read. And so in verse 15, he says, I no longer call you servants, but friends. Jesus basically says, you are my friends now. An expression of his love for them. C.S. Lewis wrote a book called Four Loves, and in that book he talks about four different types of human relationships. He talks about affection, which is mainly parental love for a child. He talks about friendship, talks about eros, romantic love, and then he talks about charity. And he says that amongst all of those human relationships, human loves, friendship is probably the one that's most forgotten. It's least pursued. But he goes on to talk about how for the ancient, it was actually most prized. They consider friendship to be most human. Because he says the affection, parental love for their child, you can see that even in the animals, right? Eros, romantic love. You can see that biological need for that amongst the animals. But friendship is most human because it's what you choose to do. It's your choice to express to someone else without the cultural and biological needs of your affection or your love towards them. So he talks about how friendship for the ancient, for people in ancient, was most prized. I say that because I think when we read this passage and when Jesus says, I call you my friends now, I don't think it affects us as it affected probably the disciples. And so what I want to do today is I want to talk about friendship with God, what that means, what that looks like. And then secondly, befriending others for God. Okay, number one, friendship with God. I want to give you four things. One, friendship with God is about divine revelations. Look with me at verse 15. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Let me read that last portion again. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. What is Jesus doing here? Jesus is basically saying, I'm calling you friends because I am now inviting you in. I have revealed everything about God to you. Now, friends, what do friends do? Well, they begin to reveal themselves to one another, right? I mean, that's how you bring someone in. The art of making friends is actually opening up yourself to someone else. Now, you don't want to do that initially or too early in your friendship, but eventually you want to get to a place where you begin to open up more and more and more of yourself to the other person. You know, my guess is that's what's happening in your small groups, right? Initially, when you start the small group gatherings, maybe in the fall, September sometime, you're beginning to feel out everyone. You know, you're getting to know them, get their names, their backgrounds. But hopefully, as the group gels and they meet consistently, what happens? Well, you're beginning to open up yourself a little bit more. And you're sharing about what you're really thinking or what you're really feeling and maybe your background and your family life. What are you doing? You're opening up yourself because that's how you develop friendship. What Jesus here says is, Jesus says, I'm calling you now friends because I have given you everything about God that I know. What God has revealed to me, now I am revealing it to you. Thus, I am calling you my friends. In the Old Testament, there are two people that were called friends of God. One is Moses. Book of Exodus says God met or God spoke with Moses face to face as a friend would to another, right? So Moses is one, and you can kind of imagine Moses spent 40 days with God on the mountain receiving the law of 10 commandments. And during that time, he spoke, encountered God face to face. The second person is Abraham. Both in the Old Testament and the book of James, it says that Abraham was a friend of God. Now, you think about Abraham's life, and I think here's the reason why. If you kind of look at verse 15 and how Jesus said, I'm revealing everything about myself, about God to you. I think if you kind of look at Abraham's life in that lens, I think what we gather in Abraham's life is that Abraham knew God intimately. And I think that happens ultimately, the pinnacle of that happens in Genesis chapter 22. We went through the life of Abraham this past fall, and if you recall, what happens? Well, God calls Abraham out of his family origin. He says, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless peoples of the earth. And then throughout his life, he's beginning to know God more and more and more. Until Genesis chapter 22, when he's 100 years old, God finally gives him a son, Isaac. And after some time, God says, I want you, Abraham, to take your only son, the son that you love, take him up to a mountain, and there I want you to sacrifice him. right? And Abraham says, Abraham, the scripture says that he considered God to be faithful, and he reckoned that God would raise Isaac from the dead. So Abraham takes Isaac to a mountain that God commanded, and there he binds him up, places an altar, and he takes out his knife and is about to sacrifice his own son. And then God appears and he says, Abraham, Abraham, do not touch the boy. And then God provides a ram for Abraham to sacrifice. And here's what's interesting. In Gospel of John, John chapter 8, verse 56, this is what he says. Jesus says, Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. This is what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, in the book of Genesis, in Abraham's life, Abraham saw me and was glad. What is he doing? What is he saying? He's saying in the mountain, when Abraham was about to sacrifice his son Isaac, there God revealed a little bit about Christ. That on many years down the road, God the Father himself would ultimately sacrifice his own son. And thus what we see, I think, in Genesis chapter 22 is God revealing a little bit about his heart and plan for salvation to Abraham. And so the Bible calls Abraham a friend of God over and over again. Jesus here calls the disciples, he calls you today his friend. You know the reason why? It's because God has revealed the gospel to you. There's this amazing verse in 1 Peter. It says that the prophets long to see the day of salvation. And it says the angels even now long to look into the gospel. And Peter says, but you are blessed because you've known, you now have this. What the prophets have been thinking about and talking about for centuries, you have it. You have the gospel of Jesus Christ. The reason why you, the disciples here, and you and I are friends of God is that God has revealed his most intimate secret to you, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, in the Hebrew, friendship means secret. It's the same word. God has invited you in by revealing his heart. And what's his heart? His heart's the gospel, that through his son Jesus, his life and his death, that he will redeem sinners like you and me. God has invited you in. Do you see that? That's what friends do. And that's what here Jesus says, I've revealed everything to you, friends. You're no longer servants, but you're my friends because you know the heart of God. You know the will of God. You know the plans of God to redeem people for himself through Christ. That's what you know. That's what I know. And thus we are considered friends of God. Okay, that's number one. There's divine revelation. Number two, there's divine sacrifice. Verse 12, it says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. So Jesus is ultimately talking about his sacrifice, the sacrifice that he's going to make on the cross, right? That he's going to lay down his life for the disciples and eventually for you here if you believe in Christ. Jesus is talking about substitutionary sacrificial love. Someone who is willing to lay down his life for a friend. Now, whenever we see this or hear about this, it moves us. It does. Because it's something resonates with us when someone is able to willingly sacrifice himself or herself for someone else. It's powerful. It moves us. This past week, my daughter had some friends over from the neighborhood, and they watched Big Hero 6. Anyone see that movie? Okay, some. Good for you. Great movie. I'm not going to spoil it. I hope I won't. But I wanted to say a little bit about that because I knew they were seeing it. I think most of them saw it before, but they saw it again. They came down, and so I asked them, how was the movie? And they all said, it was so good. We cried. You know, they're like girls around 10, and we cried. It was so good. And I wanted to let them win, and I think I did. I said, you know why? Do you know why so powerful? Why were they moved? You know why they were moved? Because the movie's about, I won't spoil it, but it's about substitutionary sacrificial love. That's what, it's the gospel. Is that, okay. But I didn't give you any details, right? I mean, actually, if you look at any movie, I mean, you can find the gospel in there somewhere. But anyways, it's about a sacrificial love, all right? My point is, whenever you see it, you read it, you experience it, it moves us. Because there's something that's powerful when someone says, I am going to lay down my life for you. Now, here is the difference between what Jesus did and what everyone else does. Everyone else, when they sacrifice, even their life, they're giving up 10, 20, 30, 40 years of their life. And what they're giving you is they're giving you an opportunity to live a little longer. 10, 20, 30, 40 more years added to your life. What Jesus did was he gave up not only 10, 20, 30 years of his life, but he gave up his life. He death didn't have a hold on him. He laid it all down. Why? So that you can not only live 10, 20, 30 more years, but so that you could live forever. His sacrifice was the ultimate sacrifice. He gave up everything for you. And that's why the Bible says he voluntarily laid it down. He wasn't forced. He willingly laid it down for you. That's the ultimate sacrifice. That's the gospel. He took your place. He was beaten on your behalf. He died for you so that you can have life. Again, not just a little more life, not just another 20 years of good health on earth, but so that you could live forever. You could have eternal life. That's what Jesus provides. So here when Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And then he says, you are my friends. Well, Jesus is thinking about the cross. He laid it down so that you might have life. That's friendship. Okay, number two. Number three, friendship with God is a divine choice. Jesus laid it down. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. As I said, what's different between friendship love and family love is you're born into your families. You didn't choose your mom or dad or your siblings, but friends you choose. Now, what does that mean when Jesus says, I've chosen you to be my friends? It's really talking about here, I think, Jesus is highlighting grace, right? In other words, he's talking to the disciples. He says, now, I love you, right? He's saying, I love you. You're my friends now. I love you. But remember that you didn't choose me, but I chose you. What is that? Well, it's grace. We know that because throughout the Gospels, right, the disciples, the 12 disciples, they're not good friends. They're not good friend material, right? We see that in a few chapters in the Gospel of John. Jesus says, I'm in great anguish. I need friends. I need you to come by me to pray. Pray for me. Pray with me. And then what happens? They fall asleep. Jesus comes back. Why are you sleeping? Please pray with me. He just called them his friends, right? You're my friends. I need you right now. Pray. Pray with me. Pray for me. He comes back. They're sleeping again. I mean, things like this happen again and again. They're not good friend material. Jesus says, I've chosen you. You did not choose me. Give you an example. I've shared this before, but you know, I help coach my sons. We play basketball, soccer. I coach them a few times. At the end of the season, every season, the league sends out an email to all the coaches. They say, we want you to recommend 2-3 players from your team for an all-star team. Pretty big deal in that little, you know, fifth, fourth, sixth life, okay? Your all-star? Wow. You know, so it's pretty significant. Basketball, they kind of play one another, but soccer, they actually get chosen and they play like different leagues. And it's like a whole weekend deal. They get trophies. So being elected to an all-star team is pretty significant, pretty important. And so when as a coach, I go, I ask the parents, I tell them, your son's been chosen. I recommend your son to be an all-star team. They respond back immediately, thank you so much. He's so happy, you know. And so the all-star teams form, I go and I just go as a parent now, and because they have their own coach, and I go. And usually it's like this. Usually, whether it's soccer or basketball, it's usually something like this. Most of the kids are good. Like, they're coordinated. They know the rules. They could play basketball. You know, they could pass. They could kick. So, you know, like, they're slightly better than maybe some of the kids who fall down. They kick their friends or, you know, things like that. Okay? So you go, wow, these kids are pretty athletic. Except there's always one or two. You just go, why is he here? Really? You almost always, I could, the kids, and you can't say anything because the parents are there, but you go, how did he make the team? And you know how? Always. It's always the case. He or she is a coach's son or daughter. Always. As a coach, you have the prerogative. You can't actually say, I recommend my son. And you know that he is not good enough, but part of you being the coach, you could do that. And no one's going to say anything else because it's a voluntary position and they're just thankful that you're volunteering. So you could actually say, I recommend my son. And it always happens. The team's great except for this one kid who's falling behind, lagging behind. Happens all the time. Deuteronomy chapter 7 says, is that too sudden of a jump? I don't know. But here's my point, okay? And my point is, I'm trying to tie it for you. Deuteronomy chapter 7 says, God says, or Moses says to the Israelites, God didn't choose you because you are better or bigger than other nations. You know what Moses says? He says, I chose you. God chose you because God loved you. In other words, this is what Moses is saying. God loves you because God loves you. God loves you because God loves you. God chose you because God loves you. Don't forget that when we are called the friends of God, sometimes we can think that it's because we're a little bit better than the person who is sitting next to us, or a little bit better than the people who are out there. We can begin to think, that's right, there's something in me. I am devout, or I am moral, or I come from a good family, that God loves me. No, the Bible makes it very clear. Jesus here makes it very clear. You did not choose me, but I chose you. You know what that is? That's grace. God looks, sees you, and he sees Jesus. And that's important because that keeps us, that does two things for us as Christians. One, it keeps us humble. Not me, it's God, his grace. And two, it gives us confidence because we've never earned this, so we can never lose it. It both makes us humble and makes us confident, bold. That's the description of a Christian who's living by grace. It's not about me, it's about God. So there's humility, brokenness. But at the same time, there's boldness and confidence. It's not about me, it's about God. I can't lose what I have with God because it wasn't about me to begin with. So there's a sense of confidence in our Christian life. Friendship with God is divine choice. He chose us out of grace. Okay? Number four, lastly, it's also there's a divine command. Look with me, verse 9. He says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. Okay, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. I pause there for a second. Jesus is not talking about just feelings. He says, as Father, God the Father, as he has loved me, You know, he's talking about the love that's shared between the triune God, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's saying, as the Father has loved me, that's eternal, immense, infinite love. And he says, so I have loved you. As Father has loved me, so I have loved you. I like how the Jesus Story Bible puts it. The authorized, this is never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. Jesus is saying, this is the love that I'm giving you. This is the love that I have for you. And then he says, abide in my love. Okay, how? God, thank you for loving me, Jesus. But how do I abide in your love? How do I experience your love? How do I do this? Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. How do we enjoy God's love for us? It's through obedience. Obedience, we cannot earn God's love. We talked about that, right? It's grace, divine choice. God chose us, not because of anything we've done. God loves us. Sheer grace. But how do we enjoy, abide in, remain in God's love? It's through obedience. That's important. Because sometimes, I think Christians, we know theoretically, God loves me. And you look at the cross, and especially in the Easter season, you go, wow, this is amazing. This is amazing grace. And then what happens once you walk out of the church? You don't experience the love of God in your life. You kind of think, why is God so far away? Why do I not sense God's presence? Where is my friend? Or where is the friendship that I heard today? You know why you feel so distant from God sometimes? It's because we are not abiding in His love. And what does that mean practically? It means that we're not keeping His commandments. We're not living in obedience. Now again, I'm just going to say it one last time so that you get it. Obedience, we do not earn God's love. But in response to this amazing love of God, we now say, I want to obey you. And that's what Jesus here says. He says, that's what I received from the Father. And how do I remain in God's love? Well, I do it through obedience, by keeping His commands. How do we walk with God, abide in God, enjoy this friendship with God? Is through obedience. This is why, you know, Jesus here says, these things I've spoken to you, that your joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. Jesus here is saying, it's through obedience you'll experience joy. You'll enjoy the friendship of God. When you look at Christianity from outside in, Christianity seems narrow. Especially when you talk about don't do this or do that. It seems narrow. You look at it, it seems intolerant. You know, it seems restrictive. But when you're in it, it's most freeing. Because we're living the way that God's created us to live. It's most freeing. As you obey in response to love of God in your life, you take that step by step. You walk with God. It is most freeing. Don't let the world deceive you. Don't let them tell you that, oh, forget the law, forget this, forget that, and live as you like, according to the flesh. You'll be free. That's not freedom. In the gospel, as you respond to the love of God in obedience, as you live in response to that, in that way, you become free. You'll experience freedom. You'll experience joy. That's what Jesus here says. Your joy will be full. So friends, if you want to enjoy the friendship with God that you have right now, Jesus says, He says, abide in my love. This is the love that I have for you. It's the love that God's given me. I'm giving it to you. If you want to experience that today, begin to live in obedience. Not to earn God's love, but to live out God's love, to enjoy God's love. Okay? Alright, so that's the first part. Second point is really brief. Jesus says in verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friend. So basically Jesus says, this is how much I love you. And then he says, go and love one another. Right? So my second point is friendship. How to befriend others for God. That's my second point, and this will go really quickly. Just two things. So think about how God's loved you. One, he's revealed himself to you, right? He's invited you in. He's shown you the most intimate, secret things of God, which is the gospel. That God, through his Son, redeems people. That's at the heart of God. He's revealed that to you. How do we befriend others? How do we love others like God loved us? Number one, we share Jesus. We share the gospel. We share the secret things of God with other people. It's really simple. If you want to love someone, one of the ways that we could do that is we could share the gospel. We could share Jesus with others. Because we're not just helping them 10, 20 years or helping them with their immediate needs, but we're thinking about their eternal needs, their spiritual needs. We're saying, you matter to me, so I'm going to give you what's most crucial in my life. Share Jesus, share the gospel. Right? That's one way. How do we befriend others? How do we love other people? We share the gospel. Number two, we place needs of others before your own. Sacrificial love, right? You give your life for others. How does that look like tangibly, concretely? I think it's putting other people's needs before us, right? It's not being consumed with our own needs only, but begin to think about other people around us. And friends, we can do that because we Christians, you guys have the resources to live this way. Because you've been befriended by God. You know that God loves you immensely. So you can now go and begin to love other people. And practically, that means you can begin to think about other people's needs before your own. You could allow other people to go get in front of you. Or you could sacrifice a little bit of your time, your resources, to provide for someone else. And Christians, you could do that. You have the resources to do it because you have the gospel. Another way to put it is, how do we love people? We love people both in word, right, sharing the gospel, in deed, sharing, giving tangibly. I mean, that's how we demonstrate the gospel, right, God. Proclamation, demonstration. And that's what Jesus here calls us to do. As God has loved us, go and love one another. As we close, just think about your relationship with God today. Are you merely servants for God, or are you friends with God? Do you know the heart of God? Do you delight in your relationship with God? Now, servanthood is important. We need to serve God and serve other people. But Jesus is drawing us closer to himself, right? He's revealing himself. He says, this is what's most important to me. You're my friends. I'm inviting you in. Do you have that intimacy with God? I hope you do, and if you don't, this is a great time for you to begin to think and pray about that, because that, friends, will make the greatest difference in your life. Okay, let's pray. Let's close our time with a little bit of prayer as we close. I want to give you a minute to reflect upon the gospel, really, that not because of anything we've done, but because of who God is. He chose us. He chose to love us by demonstrating or by sacrificing himself, giving up all things for us. He took our place on the cross. So that we could have what He has. And you know, for some of us who feel spiritually distant from God, this morning maybe you could just simply pray, I want to have my heart open to You and be reminded once again that You've called me Your friend. And I want to rest in that. I want to enjoy that. Can we pray in that? Pray that way? Just take a minute to do that. I'll say a prayer afterwards, and then we'll close our time together. Father, thank You that You not only call us Your servants, but Your friends. That You have revealed to us Your heart. You've demonstrated Your love for us by giving us Your Son, Jesus. And nothing that we've done, but out of Your grace that You chose us. Lord, we want to abide in this love. We want to remain in this love. We want to enjoy this love. We want to revel in this love. We pray that as we look forward to the Easter season, that You would draw us to Yourself and help us to know You more in a deeper and more intimate way. If there are things in our lives that are hindering us from really pursuing You in this way, we pray that You would by Your grace mercy, that You will remove these things or give us the strength so that we might push these things to the margins of our life so that You might be at the center. Lord, this morning we thank You for befriending us. We pray that You will send us forth so that we can befriend others in the love of Christ for You. Thank You for the gospel. Thank You for Your word this morning. And in Jesus' name we pray.